We're back in the Psalms, and today we're looking at Psalm 92. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 92. And we'll read that together. Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp and the strumming of the six-string guitar. It doesn't say that, but that's what we do. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord, how profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. For surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." It's a good psalm for a time when we sing songs of praise to the Lord. In a way, it sort of speaks for itself. And that's what I thought when I first looked at the psalm. We could spend the whole time with Paul and Lynn singing songs, and that would be great. It's good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. And so when I first looked at this psalm, that's what I saw, and it seemed straightforward to me, and I wasn't sure how I was going to spend half an hour or so talking about that when we could just say, it is good to praise the Lord and to sing and to make music. And back to Paul and Lynn. But I had the same struggle in a way with another psalm or two when I was speaking on the psalm, because I think more sort of in linear terms and in sort of chronological or theological or logical terms. So you have a point, and then from that point, well, if it's a story, this is what happened next, and this is what happened after that, and that happened next, and as a result this happened. Or maybe theologically, I find it easier, say Romans chapter 1, where Paul, the apostle Paul, says this is what happened, and as a result people ended up like this, and as a result this happened. And so that's a little easier for me to understand and to get my mind around and to figure out what I'm going to say. Parts of the Bible that are more history, like 1 Samuel, where there's a story. This is what happened. David and Goliath, that kind of thing. The Psalms are poetry, and it's a kind of poetry, despite the fact that I grew up with the Bible. I'm still not really familiar with sometimes how they put these thoughts and these psalms together, this poetry. And so, it's a bit of a stretch for me. It's not exactly like a limerick. I'm a little more familiar with that. That's pretty straightforward. These psalms are a little bit different, a lot of them anyways, and they don't follow sort of a linear line of thought. One idea follows another logically or chronologically. Sometimes it's there's a paragraph that has a thought, and then there's a paragraph that has another thought. So it may not be so much a line, and maybe it's more of a circle. Maybe it's more of a semicircle, or maybe it almost is constructed more like a pyramid, or maybe something like this one is more of kind of a balance with a center, and then you see on each side parallel or opposing thoughts. So I kind of looked at paragraphs, and that's kind of what I did here. And the reason I'm saying that now is to some degree I heard a preacher say one time that his job as a preacher isn't so much to deliver a really good sermon and to have a really powerful sermon that people are going to remember and their lives are going to change. It's good if that does happen, but he says that more often his job is really to introduce people to the Bible and to encourage people to have enthusiasm for looking at the Bible themselves and for discovering what it says in their own lives as they look at the Bible or they look at a chapter themselves. And I think that's part of what I'm doing here. But I look at this psalm now after I had a chance to study a bit in paragraphs where it says in the first three or four verses about praising the Lord, making music, singing for joy, and then it says, "How great are your works, O Lord," in verse 5, and then it talks about, in verses 6 and 7, the senseless man, fools, the wicked, and evildoers, and then, "But you, O Lord, are exalted forever," and then it goes back in verse 9 to enemies and evildoers, and then in verse 10 and 11, it's back to the author, "You have exalted my horn, my eyes have seen the defeat." And then it talks about the righteous in verse 12 and 13 and 14. And then I saw, it looks like in verse 15 we've kind of come full circle and we're proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And so it is, in a way, it's a bit of a circle. In a way, it's kind of a balance, and I found right smack dab in the middle in verse 8 it says, "But you, O Lord, are exalted forever," right in the middle of the psalm. And I think that's key. Not only is it key for this psalm, the idea that God, the Lord, is king, he's sovereign, is a key idea that goes through a lot of psalms. And so you'll see that despite the author of the psalm saying something like, "I'm having difficult circumstances," he's appealing to God, the King, the Exalted One. Or he's praising God. He's directing his thoughts to the Lord, the King of the universe. And so I think this is key in verse 8, right in the middle of the psalm, "But you, O Lord, are exalted forever." And I think from that truth, God is exalted, God is the creator, the ruler of the universe, comes everything else. And this psalm speaks to that, and I would say that perhaps we could say the lesson of this psalm today is align yourself with the center of the universe, God, the Lord Almighty. As we were singing, Christ is the Almighty King, come thou Almighty King. We were singing, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's true. Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, and he doesn't need 270 electoral college votes to be the King of the universe. He doesn't have to have the popular vote. And aren't we glad about that? So that thought, God is the center of the universe, and that's a truth that is applicable to those who have been believers and Christians for 80, 90 years, And all Christians and those that aren't believers need to come to an understanding of that. Someone that's been an atheist for 80 or 90 years would do well to think about the fact of God, who is the center of the universe. And I think that's one of the best arguments for someone that is it, would say that they're a committed atheist. It's like a guy by the name of Blaise Pascal, quite a few years ago, came up with something that's been called Pascal's wager. And I'm not sure exactly how he states it, but if it's a wager in terms of a wager that I'm thinking of, you could say something like, I'll wager you 10 kilograms of gold that in 200 years we'll both know that God exists and we'll have a hard time proving otherwise. And now, if I'm wrong, won't be worried about gold because we'll all be rotting somewhere and there won't be anything else. If I'm right, well, there's so much gold up in heaven that it won't be hard to come up with a 10 kilogram brick. So Blaise Pascal, Pascal's wager, it's better to be wrong if you're a Christian than to be wrong if you're an atheist. Because if you're wrong and you're a Christian, there's just nothing. But if you're wrong and you're an atheist, there's hell to pay. And so that's kind of Pascal's wager. You're going to be dead a lot longer than you're alive. So it's a good idea to be aligned with the King of the Universe, to get on God's good side, not to pretend that he doesn't exist. So whether that's for an atheist, whether that's for someone living in Israel, or whether that's for us today, in 2012, align yourself with the center of the universe. How do you do that? I think Psalm 92 says how we do that. We know there are lots of ways to get closer to God in terms of reading the Bible, praying to God, fellowshipping with other believers. But this psalm says that how you align yourself with God is to praise God. And I wouldn't have thought about that very much before I read this psalm, because I would have thought, and we still say, if you want to get right with God, you come to Christ. And Jesus said to someone who asked, what do we do to do the works of God? Jesus said, the work of God is to believe in the one whom he has sent. That's Jesus. If you want to come to God, you come through Jesus in faith, because Jesus is the only way to God. Sometimes, though, those truths about who Jesus is and the fact that Jesus comes is our way to God comes to us through songs and praise. I would guess that many of us here this morning heard songs, hymns of praise before we knew or before we came to Christ in faith. Is that true? It's true in my life, because and there's probably same with a lot of other people, but I was praising God in a way. I was singing songs of praise before I knew what they meant. I started singing songs of praise probably as soon as I could talk, pretty much. Yeah, I don't know where it is now, but there's a little audio cassette somewhere, or there was. My mom sent to my grandparents back in 1972, because my grandparents used to go south for the winter. So they'd be in Arizona, and my mom decided this was how she'd keep in touch while they were gone. Instead of just writing a letter, she'd record the family saying and doing some things and send it to them. That's what she did. She recorded on a little cassette and sent it to my grandparents in Arizona. And so I guess that was in 1972, a relatively newfangled thing that you could do. But yeah, that seemed like a good idea. And so I have, and I heard later, I kind of forgot it, of course, a recording of myself at a little younger than 3 years old singing songs. There's a couple, maybe a couple or three that I did. In fact, probably one was Jesus Loves Me, and there is another one that I did that I don't even know now. It's something about God has blotted them out, talking about our sins, that God has blotted out our sins. And I was singing it, and I didn't know the meaning of it, but I was singing it. And so maybe that was the same for some of you. Singing songs, whether it's because you were young or because you went to church, you're singing songs of praise that have truths that are theological truths, and before you even know what they mean. Praising is a way that we can be brought close to God, to align ourselves with God. In fact, we keep on doing it, even if we've come to God and we continue to praise God. And, I grew up in a house that sang songs, hymns of praise to God. And my dad would sing that quite a bit. And that was most of my dad's songs. And he liked music, and that's what he did. He played the piano, and he sang those songs. And he didn't sing much other songs, secular songs. And as a result, that's what he knew, that's what he sang, and that's what I heard. And so the songs and the music that was going around in his head were those songs. Songs of praise to God, songs of truth to God. And so we should do that. And maybe we'll brainwash ourselves in a way with hymns. Songs that have spiritual truths in them. You ever have a song going around in your head and you're wondering why it's there? You're not sure where it came from. Songs and music have a certain way of worming their way in, maybe, to your head. And it could be, in our case here this morning, a good thing. Songs and hymns, and sometimes if they're not good songs, it's not a good thing. Or maybe it's some tune or whatever that you find that's going around in your head. You don't like it. Why is it there? Why is a song going around in my head? You start singing it even though you don't like it. It's there. It's a very powerful. Music is a very powerful way of transmitting ideas. It's a lot easier to memorize a number of words with a song than it is just to speak the words like reading a book. Very powerful. We brainwash ourselves with these hymns, and so we're going to have good things going around in our head instead of not so good things. And as Christians, as believers, we're going to continue to align ourselves with God that way. Let's do that. Let's praise God in order to come to God and have those thoughts brought to us initially, but then on an ongoing basis to continue to have those thoughts in our mind and to continue as believers to be brought in alignment with the center of the universe. So that's how we align ourselves with the center of the universe. Why? And there's a universe of reasons why it's good to align ourselves with God. But this psalm says that a good reason for aligning ourselves with God is that it has long-term benefit. It talks about those that don't put their trust in God or obey God or align themselves with God. That's in verse 6, the senseless man. The senseless man does not know. Fools. And when the Bible talks about fools often in the Psalms and Proverbs, it's talking about not so much people that don't have an intellectual capacity, but it's talking about people whose spiritual condition, spiritual wisdom is low or non-existent. a proverbial fool is spiritually bankrupt. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. And so those who do not align themselves with God, they may see some short-term benefits. They have, in their mind anyways, better things to do, say, on a Sunday morning than come and sing songs of praise. Better things to do. They can work overtime. They can work at their business. And they may actually succeed. They may make some money. They may see some success in their business, or whatever they happen to do that they think is worth doing instead of praising the Lord. Perhaps on Sunday. I'm not saying that it's wrong to ever work on a Sunday, but it's kind of come, in terms of this local church, as a sort of a tradition to get together on Sundays, and they call it the Lord's Day for good reason. If you go through Scripture, New Testament, and study how the Lord's Day came about, this is the Lord's Day. We get together and we praise the Lord on the Lord's Day, and we hear from God's Word, and we fellowship with like-minded believers. And so other people may use that time to do other things, and they may have some short-term success. Their business may actually grow like a bad weed really quick. They may get rich. But this psalm tells us that type of success, their growth is a short-term growth. It's not long-term. It's more like grass. It grows quite quickly, but it's not going to last. We talk about the wicked. He talks about, and he says, "Your enemies, O Lord, will perish. All evildoers will be scattered." And so that, if they do have success, apart from God and apart from God's ways, it's a short-term success. The kingdom that they're building will not last. But those that are aligned with God, what happens to them? They find that their horn is exalted like that of a wild ox. And when the Bible talks in poetry, when it says horn, and it says in the text note in the NIV, horn symbolizes strength. And so this is a strength that's a long-term strength. "You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me." And so oil speaks of sometimes anointing for a purpose. Sometimes oil speaks of healing and health. And so long-term health, we find, if we were to actually do a survey, that those who align themselves with God have better long-term health. Defeat of adversaries, rout of wicked foes. And so long-term health, the righteous flourish like a palm tree. And so a palm tree may not grow fast as grass, but it does grow, and it grows strong, and it lasts. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. And there's a spiritual truth to this, spiritual growth, and it's not going to be obvious, and it may not be very fast, but it lasts. Sometimes it's physical too. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. And so even physically, sometimes we find that those that align themselves with God do better actually in old age. And sometimes I've seen the evidence right here at Bethel, where there's a few people that are older, 60s, not so much, 60 is kind of like the new 40, maybe. We're talking 70s and 80s and 90s and beyond. And yeah, it's a great testimony to God's faithfulness and to making good choices to be aligned with God, to make it a priority to spend some time praising God, coming together with other believers and praising God. It's certainly an encouragement to me to see how that happens when I'm start to feel old in my 40s and I'm thinking, well, I've got a ways to go. I better start thinking of 40 as the new 20. But as Hebrews says, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. It's kind of a nice echo of the idea of bearing fruit in old age. And so you can actually come here Sunday morning at 9:30 and you can hear you can actually hear maybe a brother or two that are older, and they will be offering to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. They'll be leading the congregation in worship on Sunday morning at 9:30 right here. We see very obvious example and evidence of this being true, bearing fruit in old age. It's wonderful, it's great, and I look forward to in God's mercy, having many years of doing that myself. And it's a result of aligning yourself with the God of the universe, of making it a priority to praise God, a long-term benefit of praising God. And so, let's align ourselves, align yourself with the center of the universe. How? By praising God. Why? So that you'll get long-term benefit from that. And that's what I think the psalm is saying this morning. That's what I feel challenged by myself this morning from this psalm. Let's be encouraged to do that. Let's be encouraged to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise every day, 6 days a week, 7 days a week when we come here on Sunday, 11 o'clock, and sing some hymns of praise. We come here at 9:30 and sing some songs of praise and take time to worship Christ, the King of the universe, to think about who he is and what he's done for us. And I'm gonna keep singing Jesus Loves Me, and it happens more often now to my kids, and they're gonna know Jesus loves me, this I know. They're gonna be singing that before they know what it means. I sang that before I knew what it means, and then I'm stacking the cards in their favor as early as possible, so that they're aligned with the God of the universe, and they're gonna know spiritual truths before they know a lot of other truths. And we're gonna keep singing Jesus Loves Me. Proclaim your love in the morning, your faithfulness at night. We're gonna keep singing Great is Thy Faithfulness. We're going to keep singing, like we sang this morning, Be Exalted, O God. God is exalted. You, O Lord, are exalted forever. Let's keep singing that. Let's keep singing these songs of praise. If we do, there's a good chance that we'll keep ourselves aligned with the King of the universe, and that's a good thing. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we acknowledge you as the God of the universe. We thank you for revealing yourself to us in a way that we can understand. And we thank you for giving us music in a way that we can understand things and to offer back to you praise and thanksgiving and acknowledgement of who you are, and so that we can learn, so that we can benefit long term. You've given us so much. You've given us so much through your Son Jesus. Lived a perfect life, showed himself to be the Son of God, loved us, and died for us so that we could be saved. We thank you for him. We ask for the Holy Spirit's help as we go from here, as we stay in your word and live lives that are a testimony of you and of Jesus Christ. We ask that you'd be with us and keep us safe, and bless us as we part from here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.